Howdy, howdy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Zahari.
And I'm Dr. Woosley, and we are
two
moody doctors.
Yesterday, someone stopped by and asked if we would be willing to talk about relationships in college. Specifically, this young person was asking about romantic relationships.
Okay.
And I suppose more specifically, a scenario was given. And it goes like this. How would we handle, how do others perhaps handle, these are now my words, a relational fracture, so the ending of a relationship, a romantic relationship, while still being in the same environment.
Mm. Yeah.
So maybe you have classes in common, maybe you're in the same ensemble, and that can be tricky, right?
That can be very tricky.
Any relational fracture is tough. Mm-hmm. And if you encounter someone, that can be really hard, you know, after the breakup. And that's, you know, if you're on opposite sides of campus and your paths would not intersect so much anyway. But in this instance, we're talking about people who have classes in common, potentially ensembles in common, potentially, and they see each other here in the School of Music every day.
Right.
And I don't want this person to feel that they are not unique as an individual. But this is not something that we do not see, right?
Right.
This kind of experience. And I bring that up to say that, yes, you are unique. You are a unique person. You all are unique, lovely individuals. I bring this up to say you're not alone. It's something that a lot of our students experience. I experienced it in college.
Yeah.
So what did you do? Let me guess. You broke someone's heart. You saw them on a daily basis.
Smacked them. No.
Wow.
You know.
That went dark and violent really quickly. I don't want to make light of it.
No.
It's
very hard, you know, because if you could have the relationship in and then just kind of go your separate ways and kind of be like, you know what, that's it. We're done with each other. That's
more of a quote.
It'd be easier, if you will. Yeah. But when it's kind of like your degrees, unless you're planning on changing that degree, then, I mean, if you're not familiar with how School of Music works, music majors are in the building a lot, right? So you're around each other a lot. And there's no escaping that. So you're forced to be in proximity whether you want to be or not. And that's what can make it incredibly awkward and uncomfortable. And I think, first off, you're definitely not alone in those struggles, even though it's not talked about publicly, probably as much as it should be, I should say, which is true for a lot of things. There's also no one right solution to anything, because everybody's different, you know, your approach is different. Like for me in undergrad, I dated one person in school, sophomore year, I don't even remember exactly. I don't even remember how long it was, not even a full semester. Fellow music major, sure. And then, you know, things kind of went from together to this, you know, what you might call a stereotypical, like, off and on, you're not really sure, that kind of thing, and then broke up, sure. But then we still had at least two more years left in the building together, you know, so there was that. For us, I mean, like, I think for us at first, it was just, we were still able to get space. It was kind of like we coexisted, but never really interacted. We were still around. We literally had ensemble, like, almost right next to each other, like in the ensemble, for the entire semester following and around that time. Space was needed at first, right? Just to kind of be like, you know what, we just got to take a break as much as you can take a break, you know? There were a few awkward moments of when we'd have, you know, mutual friends who would be like, hey, let's go do this. Let's go out to eat. And one person would go and it's like, well, you know, and sometimes that was just kind of like, oh, well, I see that so-and-so's going, so I'm just going to not this time, which sucked at that moment. but it was only for a time, you know, it like, if you wanted like to see how that moved forward. So to a point we had no option but to be in proximity. But you know, we had some time away from each other, enough to, I think, to realize that, yeah, we were not good for each other in terms of long-term relationship like that, you know, at least in a more romantic way, as one might say. You know, and over time, I mean, we were able to actually grow back together as friends. I mean, like, we grew close enough. I mean, like, I did all the music for her wedding, you know, so, and she sang in my wedding and stuff like that. So you know, that was years down the road, but still, you know, wow. Got to that point, which is cool. And I'm not saying that has to happen. But it can, but it still, it took time, right? Mm. So for us, it was the semester that we broke up, it was, you know, it was towards the end of the semester, which ended up playing into our favor, but it was just kind of like not much interaction for the rest of the semester. Then we had a break, I think it was Christmas break, mm. And there was no interaction at that point. And then it was just kind of like slowly easing back in after that of little conversations, you know, almost as if you... our acquaintances, like, oh yeah, I met you at orientation, kind of a thing, and you just slowly get to know somebody again. I think that this, you kind of have to look for unique ways to give each other space, you know, even if that means kind of okay, I'm gonna let you just hang out with their friends today, and I'm gonna just take a breather over here, and then maybe we'll vice versa it mm-hmm. next week, kind of a thing. And that's weird, but you just kind of have to, you know, and then just take that time just to focus on you, focus on yourself, your growth as a person, as a musician, as a student, if you want to. Yeah, and just, I mean, know that relationship might be something that you can salvage into a friendship down the road, but it might not. It might just be, that's it, you know, and you move on. And that's, you know, that can be a bummer sometimes, but it can also be okay, you know.
Is there anything in hindsight that you think you could have done that would have helped, and I don't mean... keep the relationship together. Mm-hmm. But is there something that, in light of the relationship ending, is there something that you think you might have done that would have been helpful now with all this time that's passed? Sure. Or is there something that you think you would not have done? Maybe you should not have done that would have been helpful.
I don't honestly think I was ready for that relationship. Mm-hmm. Like I think I initiated that too soon and I wasn't mature enough for it. I mean, I didn't date a lot of people through high school and stuff like that. I mean, I was homeschooled. There was nobody to date. So that wasn't like my world or anything like that. So, so I think in the relationship, she was the more mature one in knowing kind of what to do in a relationship, kind of the quote unquote give and take of a relationship, if you will. So I don't think I was ready for that. And it was just kind of, I didn't really know what it all like forming that kind of relationship entailed. So I mean, really, honestly, if I went extreme and looked back, I would just say, you know what, pause that thought and think about it more before just jumping right in. Which, I mean, that's not me saying that you shouldn't date anybody in college or in your department, because again, that really differs per person and all that kind of stuff. But don't feel like you have to. There's this mindset, I think, in college that people feel like, oh, I have to date somebody. I have to find my significant other in college or else, you know. No, you don't. I mean, I met my wife while I was in college, yes, but we didn't go to the same school. Like, we met elsewhere. Like, we met at church, you know, so it had nothing to do with being in college, technically. So, you know, so don't let yourself get caught up in the mindset that if you somehow graduate and you don't have that person, that you're going to be, like, all alone for the rest of your life, because that's far from true. You know, because I've had students who think, oh, it's the first semester in college, I got to find somebody to start dating right away, you know, which if you do, great, you know, if that works for you, but don't feel like you have to.
There's also, you know, there is something exciting about, I mean, it was for me, and it sounds like maybe it was for you, and I'm sure it is for so many students still. There is something exciting about this new time, this new place. Mm-hmm. New possibilities.
Sure.
And, you know, the sort of cliche of finding yourself, exploring, experimenting, maybe meeting people, dating people that maybe in high school or, I mean, you were homeschooled, but you still had...
I had plenty of social interactions.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You had other interactions. So, but maybe in college you were potentially exposed to people from places that you would not have been exposed to, or people with backgrounds, different perspectives. And there's something, I think, for so many, or some people who just didn't have the opportunity or maybe weren't permitted to date in high school, whatever the case may be. And so there's something exciting, I think, for so many of us about, okay, we're in college and we're surrounded maybe by a lot of like-minded people. People find acceptance. They can explore. And I think that's exciting. But I think your point's very well taken. You don't have to at any time, ever, date, be in a relationship. At the same time, we also know that relationships are also very healthy parts of lives. Yeah, my experience in college was a bit different than yours. Would you describe yours as devastating?
I don't think so. I mean, like the relationship.
Yeah. The relationship ending.
I don't know. Obviously I was sad about it, but I think I was probably more confused than anything, just trying to figure out, you know, new feelings, new approaches. And I think that's a lot of dating in college. That's what you learn is, you know, because in college you're really kind of growing into the person you're going to kind of be a lot of times. You know, you're changing a lot, and I think sometimes in those relationships you can discover a lot of, okay, this is how I react, or this is what I feel like I need, or this is what I feel like I can give, and stuff like that. And sometimes the dating of somebody is what brings that to light. And so that ends, like, sometimes you can, I hate to say, like, think of it logically, but you almost could, you know, like, think, okay, you know, that fizzled out, it didn't go well, so think about why. You know, it's like, okay, so, like, what, why did I feel this way, why did they feel this way, you know, and let yourself, like, soak in that for a while, and it might not be comfortable, but just so you can learn about yourself, learn about how you react to others when they do certain things, and that can be, you know, that can be something that even if a relationship goes, what you might say, downhill, you can still say, you know, this can still be a learning opportunity, right? I mean, it, terrible comparison, but it's the same as like if you tank a performance or a jury or your lesson doesn't go well, you can be like, okay, that didn't go how I was expecting, but I can still learn something from it, you know, and then, you know, move forward and hopefully apply this next time in better ways, you know, if there's a next time.
So I think maybe for not just the person who asked, but maybe for others, based on what you shared, it sounds to me like communication, if people are comfortable enough to, you know, and I get that's hard at any age, certainly if it's an early life relationship, communicating with that person, you know, maybe it's possible to say to them, this is really hard. We're going to be in an ensemble together, at least for the semester, maybe longer. We're going to be here for a few more years together. Can we talk about how we might be in this place together and try to make it as comfortable as possible? What can we do? What are you willing to do? Here's what I think I can do.
Yeah.
Can we talk about, and maybe they have friends in common. That's, you know, you mentioned that.
Right.
And oftentimes our friends, I think oftentimes out of a place of caretaking, feel the need to take sides, right?
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I've even here, I've had students say things like, I got custody of these friends, and they got custody of these friends.
Interesting.
And it doesn't have to work like that.
No, yeah, don't make your friends choose.
No, yeah, I mean, like, they can continue to care for you both. Not as a, and you know, you are two people.
Yeah.
They cared for you as a couple, perhaps, that's true, but they care for you individually. There's that. I'll give you sort of the quick rundown of, I had a lot of heartbreak in college. Did you have just the one? What was I doing wrong? Okay.
I was in the practice room too much.
I was in the practice room, thank That's you true. Very much. Mostly in tears about all of the heartbreak.
I just played lots of Rachmaninoff and Chopin. That's
I was practicing organ and crying, and then practicing all the vocal music that I was going to play for people's juries, and practicing my own vocal music, practicing the choral music, and crying. That was the thread. Did you notice the thread in all of my undergraduate experience of practicing?
Tears.
Me crying, yeah. Not because of the music, but because I'm devastated. I was devastated. But the, so the long and short of mine is thus. Person X, I think maybe I was the mature one in this circumstance. I mean, all things being relative, I thought that I was going to spend my life with this person. So maybe, you know, that's not necessarily, that's a pretty good sign that I wasn't so mature at such a young age. I mean, it happens. People do meet their long-term partners in high school and college. That was not my experience, but I thought I would spend my life with this person. And we were in choir together. I was his accompanist. Not just choir together, we stood beside each other. We were in quartets. Wow. And both in the large select choir and in the chamber select choir. So with 12 of us and then the 36 of us. We stood beside each other in the ensembles. I was his accompanist. What else? The department was much smaller than the School of Music. You know, 150 majors total, I think. And I was quite certain that, you know, things would work out. The stars would align in such a way that we would be able to be together. I had a very dear friend. She was a very dear friend of mine, in whom I confided all of my feelings about this person and for this person. So at any rate, get ready for the devastation. Okay. You're going to want to zoom in on this one. let me make it a little bit shorter. It became soon apparent that my dreams, or actually my belief, I was certain that we were destined to be together. It soon became apparent that that just wasn't going to be the case. And not only was it not going to be the case, I continued confiding this information in my dear friend, and soon discovered that this person, he was beginning a relationship with my dear friend in whom I was confiding. And they got married. They're still married. They have two children, lovely, beautiful children. Now, I will tell you this, a lot of time passed before I was ready to speak to him.
Sure. Well, that makes sense.
The other, the friend, I was just so stunned. I wasn't even angry. I was like, what?
Right.
How did this happen?
Right.
But now I see them maybe once a year or so at, you know, music conferences, concerts, all states, things like that. And I'm truly delighted to see them. And they have a lovely family. But my way of dealing with it then, because I didn't have a choice, I could not say to the our choir director, I know that the standing position you have, the voicing you have, is best for the ensemble, but my heart has been shattered, so move us. Fix it. I couldn't do that. He probably would have slapped me anyway. That's kind of the way he rolled.
Real tight.
Yeah, real tight indeed. And I, you know, we were in classes together, like I said, and I continued to be not only his accompanist, I was her accompanist too. Yeah. And then they did a joint recital. I agreed to play. What was I thinking? Why did no one say to me, Amir, No. Anyway, I did. But my response to all of it was, for better or worse, my response was, you're dead to me.
Yeah.
I will do what I have to do. I will stand beside you in our performances. I will continue to accompany you because I agreed to do that. Your teacher is expecting me to do that. But don't even think about... He wanted to have a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't do that.
It's almost like it shifted just into a strictly professional relationship.
It didn't feel good.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Sure.
I hated everything about it. That was the person I confided... The two of them, but he, you know, I confided in him so much. But then all of a sudden the person in whom I confided was no longer available to me in that way. And the other person in whom I confided became his significant other. Now I ask you. You can't see me on the podcast, but just know that my facial expression is one of... heartbreak. those of you watching, I guess, if this ends up on TikTok.
Slowly zoom in.
Oh, yeah. Will you zoom in? I wish I could.
I could add.
I wish I could do the... Can you do it? I wish I could do that Judi Dench, the singular tear.
I'll get it.
Bernadette Peters, Patti LuPone.
I could fade it to a nice, like, black and white.
Try.
Add a little rain in the background window.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I dated quite a bit in high school. None in high school. I dated quite a bit in college. But that was the one that was truly devastating. But you know, it had a very important impact on my life.
Yeah.
It's interesting how that happens. So I don't have specific advice, like a one thing fits all.
I don't think there is.
A bit of advice. Mm-hmm. I will say, and they're going to expect this from me, as you know, I didn't really have this option or this resource in my undergrad experience. I would say get to a counseling center ASAP. Because I was confiding in two folks who all of a sudden were no longer available to
right.
me.
Right, right.
If I had... I could have worked through that so much more elegantly, I suspect, maybe not, but so much more elegantly, I hope. But I think so much more effectively I know so much more effectively. Mm-hmm. And with someone with experience, I mean, training, knowledge, compassion, care, kindness, mm-hmm. and someone who actually had my best interest at heart.
Yeah, someone with whom you could talk it out, but they also knew the questions to ask.
Right.
To get you to figure out what's going on. Because sometimes you're like, yeah, I want to talk about this, but I don't even know what...
Don't know where to begin.
Feel, what to say, what to think. So talk to somebody who can kind of help pull that out, you know? And in a you know, like seeing a therapist, a counselor, that's a very safe environment, too. Because it's not like you don't have the risk, if you will, of pouring it out to your friend and then the friend doing whatever, who knows, you
right.
know? But it's like that stays there in the room, if you know, so...
I wonder if they're going to hear this podcast. Ooh. How does it feel to be reminded that you broke my heart? Do you know there's a great poem by Dorothy Parker? It goes like this. Once when I was... No, wait a minute. I've already screwed it up. No, that's... I didn't screw it up. Here we go. I was three words in.
Sorry.
It goes like this. Once when I was young and true, someone left me sad, broke my brittle heart in two, and that is very bad. Love is for unlucky folk. Love is but a curse. Once I broke someone's heart, and that, I think, is worse. I don't know that everyone would agree with that. But it... Nonetheless, I mean, it does feel terrible to break people's
someone's
heart.
Sure.
Yes, I was brokenhearted, but I will also confess that I have hurt others. I have broken the hearts of others, millions of people. Millions of hearts have been shattered. Gosh,
completely.
By me. Truly. Reach out to one of us if you want.
Yeah.
If you don't want to talk to us about it, let us know that you need help, but you don't want to talk to us.
We'll help you find somebody.
Yeah, we'll get you totally. There. If you don't want to talk to us and let you know, and to let us know that you need help, that's okay. You can call the counseling center.
Mm-hmm.
You can if you Google UA Counseling Center, bam, the number shows up. It's at the top of the search result.
Yeah.
And they're amazing.
Yeah.
And
a lot of, if you're watching this, listening to this, and you're not part of like the University of Alabama team, whatever, like most schools have a counseling center as a part of them, you know?
Yeah.
So seek it out. It's worth it.
Just know that you're not alone.
Yeah.
It can be an awful experience.
Yeah. And I mean, it's easy to slip into the mindset of thinking, oh, that relationship's over. That was the one, and we somehow messed things up, and now that's it. You know, it's like, don't let yourself think that you've lost your one opportunity to ever have a relationship in that way ever again, you know? Or
I think it's easy also for us to think along that same line, to go a step further and maybe say, clearly I'm not good at relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not cut out for relationships. Yeah.
I mean, it's all a two-way street anyway, so no matter what, it's not entirely on you. But yeah, it's...
Before, as much as possible, before we get down that... go down the path of judging ourselves so harshly, or even judging the other person so harshly.
Yeah.
Get an outside perspective, and ideally someone who's well-trained in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good question, though.
I thought it was a great question. I'm so glad they stopped by to ask.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So you know who you are. Thank you.
Yeah, and if you're listening, you have... follow-ups that you'd like clarity on, or a follow-up question, because there might
and
be some
comments. Maybe they have insights.
Sure,
we'd
love to
hear.
Maybe
they want to take us to task on what we've said.
Yeah, or you might have your own insight. Let us know. Email it to us. Leave a comment on TikTok, whatever it is, and we'd be happy to hear it, read it, share it.
And if you're the person who broke my heart, you are not welcome to comment.
We're coming for you.
I'm kidding. You can. You may.
If you have a topic, idea, or question that you would like for us to discuss, feel free to reach out to us. You can do so by email at 2moodydoctors@gmail.com or through my website, which is kevinwoosley.com/2-moody-doctors. That's W-O-O-S-L-E-Y. And you can even submit anonymously there if you so choose. We would love to hear from you, and we would love to dive into the topics you send our way. See you next time, folks.